Awakening. After she led you back there. Mind muzzy, body furred. That flame, smiling, still dancing in your mind. After she led you back there to that vast manor and laid you down and gently tucked you in, the mistress of the manor, the fox spirit, went off to do her own thing, tails trailing behind her like a gown, brushing on the floor but alive. Her gorgeous body still fills your mind. And when you awoke at some point in the night, there was water, a small snack sitting on the table next to you, fresh fruit, some sort of biscuit. Everything was quite nice. The room is warm, the window vast. It has curtains you could pull to keep the sun out if you needed to sleep in. But despite its vast glass pane opening onto the cool night, the air is warm even without a fire. In the cheery fireplace tucked in the corner of your room. It might feel presumptuous to think of it that way, but something tells you to. And snack consumed, you went back to sleep. Drifted away. And come morning, though the sun is strangely filtered like it were afternoon, but you know it's morning, the birds are singing, and you were fitful enough in this new place. Even if your body, covered in fur and still in some ways aroused by the mere thought of her, even if your body feels very at home there, laying there under the covers, warm, tucked right to your shoulders. Then the door creaks, you look up eagerly, you feel your tail, long fox tail, stirring under the covers. And you see her, walking in. The look on her face, the fox spirit that brought you here, told you your purpose, changed you with a touch. She's grinning. She has a small red silk bag, which she places on your nightstand. And then she sits on the edge of the bed, brushing her hand over the covers and smoothing them. Well, you've had your only night here as a freeloader. She sounds amused by the presence of you, the look of you, the very idea of you. She reaches out and throws the covers back. You shudder and reach for them. It's cold, even with your fur. Or at least, your instinctive reaction to the blankets being thrown aside is to think it's cold. You reassert with yourself, no, it's still warm in here. It always is. It's like the whole place is temperature controlled. Hard to do with a mansion, or more rightly, a castle, or a temple, or whatever this is. It's a little too big, a little too winding inside. But those thoughts are dispelled when she moves her silk-clad, robed arm over, opens the bag, places her clawed hand inside, and pulls out a strange swatch of material. It's more like a folded sheet, but when she unfolds it, it becomes clear it's a robe like hers, shimmering, flowing, but there's less material there. She hands it to you. You pull it around your body. It doesn't cinch closed in the front like hers does. It hangs open, and it doesn't go very low, just under your thigh. It would conceal nothing. It more so accentuates the nudity of the rest of you. Your parts on display. Well, put it on, she says, impatiently standing, tapping one of her clawed hind paws on the floor, her tail spreading behind her and rising. She still has that smile, but there's an edge to it. You quickly pull the robe on, sitting up instead of laying down and futilely grabbing for covers that she tugged away. I see I shall have my work cut out for me, but I still think the raw material is good, she says. When you quickly put the robe in place and adjust it, she reaches out and says, how can I see it on you if you don't stand up? She grips you by the scruff of your neck, twining her fingers into your fur, pulling you to the edge of the bed and into a standing position before her. Out of the corner of your eye, you catch a glimpse of your furred body, dark fur, white tips here and there, including on the tip of your tail. Your whole body feels warm when you look at yourself. It looks right. You know it's transformed, you know it's imposed, you know it's external, but it feels right. She releases the scruff of your neck then, when you are standing, and she adjusts the robe, pulling it taut, smoothing any wrinkles. Eventually, she pronounces herself satisfied with the robe, but says, "Well, I can't be pulling you around like that all day. And I am going to have to pull you around." She reaches in the bag from before and pulls out a black collar with what seems to be a silver clasp. It's a collar, and she extends it. It's a collar, and she grips you by the scruff once more. It opens in her hand, somehow, and just as quickly is slid around your neck. You feel her hook two fingers inside it, making sure it's not too tight, and then it clicks closed with one tug. You feel it on your neck, it's at least that tight, and when she hooks her fingers around it now and pulls you, it holds fast. She only pulls enough to indicate a direction, and you follow. Have to follow. Feels right to follow where she leads. She practices guiding you in a slow circle in the room a few times. Behind her, following her, her tails brushing against your thighs and legs in an unmistakably sexual way. And you are aroused by any touch of them and by her fingers hooked in your collar. When she has satisfied herself leading you toward the door a few paces, back toward the bed a few paces, back and forth in a standing position. After doing it a few times, you find yourself able to anticipate just barely when she's about to turn. She keeps it unpredictable, but you can see the minor movement of her muscles, the shift of how she grips your collar. She notices. When she's done, she stands you next to the bed, reaches out, places her hand on your chest. "Good pet," she says, and pushes you back lightly so you sit on the edge of the bed. Then she reaches into that bag once more. "I think you're ready for this," she says, removing from the bag the leash. But you barely are able to notice that because a moment ago, she called you a good pet. And thrumming in your brain is the awareness of just how much that means to you. The leash is clicked onto your collar. You watch her hands, carefully, for more sign that she's going to pet you or rub the scruff of your neck or run her fingers under your collar. With a click of a leash, with the nimble movement you didn't quite track despite the fact you were looking for it, she adjusts your collar, making sure it's secure, and she does brush her fingers against your fur, and then leads you toward the door of the room, turning, sliding it open. There's a hallway outside with plush, clean red carpeting, tables with vases on them. It's a long landing, and you can tell that this vast forested estate is hers. She just fits in so well. And as she moves, you do watch the tails, the many tails in front of you, swaying. The memory of flame, of the half-remembered language in your head that she used to convey her commands and her desires, which even now are lodged in your furred body, in your one long, swishing tail, which is raised already, with a mix of arousal and eagerness. You want to radiate eagerness. She should know every moment that you wish to follow her every command. She should know every moment that you're at her beck and call, as if the collar didn't already make that clear. As if the way she leads you with a tiny tug, and you race to keep right behind her, so close that those tails sometimes brush pleasantly across your face, and you breathe in the herbed, oiled, silken scent of her. Following, she walks ahead of you. There are many doors on this floor, Off to the left, exiting your room, you do see stairs down to the first level, and to the right, a hallway that seems to go on forever, doors alternating one side then the other, tables, a few bookcases, chairs to rest on. There's no telling how big this place is, and she tugs your leash, leading you off. Right down the hallway, following behind her, still eager to do so, following as closely as you can because it means her tails will keep brushing your face now and then. You follow her. She leads you just a few doors down from your bedroom, but this door is set off a little bit more from the others, on a wall on its own, and the next alternating door is quite far away. When she pushes, you see why. Behind the door is a grand ballroom. You've clearly entered through one of the side doors, because there's a set of double doors far across from you. Entering there, you see red plush carpeting, still upkept well, a wooden bar, vast array of glasses behind it, stools at the front of it. There is a stage, and you see, tucked away, a strange cabinet at one corner of it. There's bathrooms at the far, far end, you can see tucked in. In fact, the whole place has more the feel of a public reception hall than the feeling of a private function space. She walks ahead of you, still tugging your leash. You trail behind, happy to follow. She moves on to the dance floor, and then lets go of your leash. That doesn't really matter. She turns, facing you, reaches out her silk-covered arms, hooks them around your shoulders. You look up at her, for she is much taller. You feel her close her two hands together behind your neck, pull you to her, her chest pushed against your face because of the disparity in heights. Then, wrap your arms around me, she commands. You do so at once. It feels peculiar. This is different than you were expecting. And then, she begins to sway. It's not a dance, there's no music per se, but she is rolling her hips and just holding you to her. The closeness of your body, your face buried between her breasts, her fur against you, her tails even wrapped down at one point, around the two of you, forming almost a cloak over your back and shoulders. You, nude as you are, as a pet perhaps should be, don't mind. It is nice to be close to her, and she rotates slowly with you, pushed right up against her body. And as she turns, she runs her hands up and down your back, as if petting your fur. Her hand eventually slides to your lower back, and the other to the side of your neck, just resting on your shoulder. You push against her. There's some turning in place, gradual, slow, soothing. But of course you feel soothed by her presence. And the memories activated by the blue flame she swayed to and fro in front of your face have got you going back to that special pet and transformation space she put you into once. There in the middle of the dance floor, swaying in her arms. You've had your free night here, she explains. Now it's time I put you to work. Not like this, this is just a whim of mine. Truthfully, it would be inappropriate for you to be dancing like this with me at a function. No. She slides the hand on the side of your neck to the back, pulls at the fur a little, disentangles herself from you, which you're a little sad about because your face has left the wonderful valley between her breasts, the softness you could feel, and the vacant feeling in your head. Were pleasantly mingling to produce a euphoria every bit as good as what she induced in you before you came here. But guiding you with her hand on the back of your neck, she does something even better than anything so far. She pushes down lightly. She guides you down to your knees, guides you down on all fours. She puts you in your place. And the moment she has fully positioned you in your place in the world is a moment where your eyes roll back, Your tail stands straight up. The collar around your neck feels perfect. The leash trailing to the side, which she hasn't bothered to pick back up, is slithering there onto the ground as you, rather than just staying in the hands and knees position, push your face down on your folded arms and moan a long, low, continuous animal sound accompanied by shivers that go right to your wet pussy, right to your clenching ass under the tail, right to the ears on your head that lay low, sign of submission, absolute submission. Some part of you, barely processing what had been done so far, was just awaiting the moment she would first put you in your place. "Now you just stay right there," she says. Then, with your face down against the floor of the ballroom, resting on your folded arms, with your ass in the air, with your sex dripping, matting your furred thighs with your arousal, your tail high in the air, she steps closer, positions her furred and well-cared-for feet in front of your face, and then just tells you to stay as you are. She isn't sitting, but she's leaning at a strange angle that suggests she may in fact be leaning on thin air. And she's regarding you, you can tell, because you can feel her eyes on your skin as you just lay there, face down on your arms, in position, on hands and knees. She's nearby, you are at her feet, you are lower down than her. You can see the sway of her tails, which are hanging relaxed behind her body, if you glance up. But mostly you spend your time glancing down, just soaking in her presence. Something in the dynamic shifting, changing. This is now as and who you are. She's speaking, and of course you hang on every word, though some of them flow through you, scarcely comprehended. The spell I worked will continue to affect you. You had a free night, and now you work. You get trained, and when I go to functions like the ones held here, when I dance and play and romp, you will be there, in attendance, and you will be there as you are now, for all to see and envy. But it won't do for you to be that way. You need some improvement, you need some equipment, you need some training. Here. You feel her walking around you, but your eyes are closed and your face is pressed down on your folded arms. She's walking behind you. She reaches out and strokes your tail, gripping it. You feel a tug at the base, your arousal grows, wet, hot, your nipples are pointed. And then there's a rush of heat. It reminds you a bit of the magic she worked in the forest that transformed you, though all your memories around that are a little hazy. And then she's kneeling behind you, which is strange, but of course you wouldn't look around or stir. She's sliding something under your knees. She's tying something behind them. Suddenly there's a softness, and all around your knees, the padding. She's given you knee pads. Clearly she does intend you to kneel. They feel perfectly fitted. She barely needs to adjust them, and when she stands again and finds you looking up at her in amazement, she does smile down. You watch the bounce of her breasts. You see her sex under that silken robe. And then she does indeed lean on thin air, a little flash and swirl of blue light catching your eye. As she reaches out one of her feet, rests it on the back of your neck, and pushes your face back down into your own arms, she rubs her foot on the back of your head. You feel the powerful sole. You feel her just gently curl her toes and run the sharp and pointed claws at the tip of them lightly, lightly against the back of your head and neck, more like a little massage than anything, because then when she takes her foot away, you stay in position, and she looks down at you with your knee pads. This is where you belong. So think about it. If this place were full of visitors, full of those who would observe you, probably in this position by the bar over there, you would do just what you're doing now. You nod. You find yourself nodding with your face still pressed against your arms. You would stay in precisely this position. You'll wear those knee pads to any function like this. Feel them. In fact, I think I might just have them vanish when you're anywhere else and reappear when I order you to kneel. Stay. Of course, doing anything other than stay right where you are was off the table. Kneeling before her. Kneeling beneath her. An instinctive recognition as automatic as your ears or your tail is pulsing through you, always galvanizing your fur, making it stand on end a little, making you acutely aware of your body, the body she has bestowed, cursed, blessed into you. And that on your knees before her is where you belong. Arousal thrills, but so does satisfaction, the kind of satisfaction only a pet can feel. You're below her, cherished, cared for. Hands and knees, your tail low, swaying submissively as it covers and hides your wet pussy, your clenching ass from sight. Which is good, because in her presence and with her having handled you so forcefully, every part of you is excited sexually, mentally, physically. Every aspect of you is ready to just be used for her purpose, be put to her purposes. She leans down, and with a click, she undoes the leash, holds it in her hand. You look up, your eyes fixed on it. Somehow you know that when she's holding the leash, it's even more important that you follow closely. If the leash were hooked to you, maybe she wants to tug. But this state, where she's holding the leash in her hand, tells you you should follow her lead, and your lead in her palm. You should follow along, eagerly, attending her, and then she does say, heel. And you, following, move behind her toward the entrance to the room, but still shivering in your memory and on your skin is the idea of many other people being there and seeing you, jealous of you, getting to be hers. And you do feel hers as she walks before you, tails swaying, you following, your excitement dripping down the insides of your legs, your mind fixated entirely on following. You're twitching with the urge and eagerness to follow. You memorize everything she's imparted to you. The collar, your form, your arousal at her mere presence, the way she pushed your face down where it belonged by putting her foot on the back of your head, the way she hooked the collar and the leash and led you. Your kneeling position, your new knee pads, you feel them. Warm, constant reminder that on your knees and ready to please her is precisely where you belong. Especially when others get to see and be jealous of your position. A good pet follows. A good collared pet on hands and knees. These thoughts and others, perhaps set up by her spell, perhaps just set up by your natural inclination, play out within. You follow. You follow close. You twitch deep into your consciousness as certain things rearrange themselves. Comporting yourself as her plaything, as her pet, knowing that as she has promised, your free ride is over and it's time to serve. Time to do whatever she needs or wants. Time to serve following. It's like there's a faint, blue, flaring halo of light around her as you move in her wake, fascinating you, pulling you in, keeping your mind fixated on her purpose, her path, on being companion and attachment to her when she wants it, on waiting patiently for her commands or an opportunity to service when she's doing other things. You're very lucky. You feel that luck, that fortune, that warmth, that comfort in every part of your being. Your body responds instinctively to her. You scent the feel of her, her tails against you sometimes. You find yourself wanting harder and more powerful ways to serve. When she walks ahead of you back toward your bedroom, back toward where you were before, she pauses outside the door with you just 1 foot behind her, reaches up, unties something, lets her silk garment fall away. Her glorious nude form turns. She looks surprisingly slim, but blade straight and tall, large-breasted and behind the many tails, you know, that she's curvy below as well. It is these curves you fixate on, crawling hands and knees, behind her nude form progressing into your bedchamber, into the place where you were resting. Though you suppose now that your bedchamber, your resting place, your home, is wherever she dictates, wherever she commands, leash, collar, kneeling, training, and the truth of what you are, of what you're for, and of the way that you can see dripping moisture between her legs, similar, although much less than, what's been trailing between yours from the moment she gave you your first command.